This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past several days, we've been considering basic reasons why men do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. One reason was because of ignorance. Men do not know what they ought to know. Another reason was men love the world too much. You cannot love both the world and God. And then the third reason was because of indifference. Many men are indifferent to the most important things of human life. And now we close this particular series of studies by pointing out the fourth basic reason why men do not love the Lord Jesus Christ is because of pride. They love their own way too much. The self-centered man cannot really see God. He can see only himself. He sees all the world as revolving around himself as the center or the hub of the universe. In fact, it might well be said that pride is the most fundamental sin. It is pride which leads men to seek to dethrone Christ, to not recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and regard oneself as the ruler. When a man seeks to destroy the Bible, or seeks to avoid it, or seeks to pervert it, or to add to it, or to change it, he is, in fact, setting himself up as God. He's regarding himself as being able to function in the role that belongs only to God. But Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, makes clear that we simply must not add to the Word of God, nor must we take away from it. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, the Apostle Paul made clear that we must not pervert it, that is, we must not change it. Men do not have the right to draw wrong conclusions about the Bible. I realize that many people feel that it doesn't matter what interpretation they draw, so long as they study the Bible and draw some conclusion, that God will be satisfied with whatever conclusion they draw. But Paul is making clear that that simply is not the case. Notice carefully as he speaks in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. Only there are some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. And so you see, Paul is saying that even if an angel or an apostle were to preach a different gospel, were in effect to pervert the gospel, then God's blessings would not rest upon him, but rather God's curse would rest upon him. And so you see, it is our function to recognize God Almighty as the inherent ruler of the universe, Jesus Christ as his Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that it is our basic response as human beings not to do our own will, but the will of God Almighty. We must be humble, willing to submit our will to his will. You remember Naaman, as the record is given in 2 Kings chapter 5 in the Old Testament, a king of the Syrians who had been afflicted with the terrible disease of leprosy. And when he came to the prophet of God that he might be healed, and the prophet told him to go and dip in the river Jordan 7 times, and the man went away in a rage because, he said, behold, I thought thus and so. Isn't this the way men sometimes approach the Bible? They approach it with pride rather than with humility. They approach it with the idea of their minds already being made up as to what God ought to have said in the Bible, rather than simply sitting down before the Bible in humility and saying, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. We ought to be willing to do whatever the Bible teaches. We ought to be willing to be led wherever the truth leads us, without regard as to where that leads us. It doesn't matter if it leads us across what we've always believed or what our mother and father believed. We must be willing to bow our wills to the will of Christ in true humility. The gospel humbles us, makes us admit our sin, our need for God's mercy, and the necessity of our obeying Christ and not our own will.